You're listening to UK Health Radio, where health means more than the absence of illness. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. I'm Hillary Burns, and each week we explore honest conversations about life, health, and whole person well-being through real stories of resilience, healing, and human connection. This is the Getting Real with Hillary show on UK Health Radio. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today we have a very special guest. We have Mary Medeiros. She is an Emmy-winning TV director. She was on all three of the major networks. And one of the shows that she directed, which was one of mine growing up, was General Hospital. So, but now she does something very different. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to let Mary tell you. Welcome, Mary.
Hi, Hillary. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right. So I think what Mary does now can literally change the planet. I think she already is. And she went from Emmy-winning TV director on major networks to doing something that I don't know is talked about enough, but she's written a book called The Akashic Way. Let's see if you can see it. No. All right, Mary, we need you to hold it.
Okay, I'll do it. There you go.
There. Okay, yes. The Akashic Way, which I read, and it tells Mary's story. So I don't know how much of her story we're going to get into, but you could definitely get the book if you have curiosity about this, if you've heard about the Akashic Records or not. Now, some people haven't heard that term, Mary, but like you had said, it's also, you know, on the Jewish holidays, we talk about the Book of Life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do other people refer to it as, just so they can relate?
Let's see, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, there's a reference to the same idea, a field that records everything about humanity. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. There are many. There are different names. And Edgar Cayce was accessing the Akashic Records during all of his channelings that he did in, I don't know, 30s, 40s.
Okay.
So they've been around since the beginning of time.
Yeah, so it's not a new concept, but you may or may not have heard of it. Mary, you know, before this, as research, she did a reading on me that, you know, profoundly impacted my life. She doesn't remember it, but I do. And, you know, it really taught me a lot of things, which we're going to get into as well. So just to say, you know, you were an Emmy-winning TV director, and I think what you said was you had a contract and it wasn't renewed. And then how did you get into this? Just so that people know.
Okay, so it wasn't like blip one moment to the next. While I was working in television, which I loved, I was overlapping an interest in metaphysical concepts. And so I would go to workshops, different ones, you know, Abraham Hicks, I was following Paramahansa Yogananda. It was all, you know, spirituality for me was something I felt like I knew and it was beginning to awaken in me, right? At the same time that I was still working. And I think now in retrospect, what was going on was I was being nudged to and towards my next offering as part of my own soul's journey that I now know, having worked in the Akashic Records. So I wasn't paying attention to the nudges. And so, you know, I continued. The last show I worked on was General Hospital. And then just one, all out of the blue, really, my contract was not renewed. And I was just like, what? And even the actors, I went to them, Tony Geary, right? Who now just recently passed. Tony Geary, all the actors. Yeah. Luke and Laura. Yeah. I went to all the actors and asked them, is there something that I've missed? Can I be a better director? And they thought I was joking. And they were like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I'm going to be leaving. And they said, they all said, you're one of the best directors we've worked with. That's all I needed to hear. So I knew something else was happening, but when you're going through it, gosh, it's painful. So, so that's where the shift began. And so the floor dropped out from what I'd known. I'd worked, oh my gosh, 25 years, even more in entertainment in that way. And so then
I ask you?
Yeah, go ahead.
When you say you were getting nudges, because I think, you know, from all my spiritual courses, they say, you know, you get them. They're trying to give you messages. Like, can you describe a nudge?
that you did or didn't listen to, so that, you know, maybe other people are having them and they could say, oh, that's enough.
Okay. One nudge we get sometimes when we're being called to live more fully for why we're here, according to that, is when we're drawn to something that we're not in, but we're drawn to something. Because that was the nudge number one. And actually I had that when I was little too. So I was always drawn to like phenomena, the unseen, mysteries, things that we don't really know about. I was always drawn to that. So we do. And so if we think, we can all think and go, you know, here I am over here, but I've always wanted blah, blah, blah. I think those are the things we sometimes don't pay attention to because we have responsibilities. We're in third dimension with all its things, the things we're being told we have to do. You know, you made your bed, lie in it, that old saying. It's like, no. So I was getting that. And because every time I would overlap and go to a workshop that was, you know, Eckhart Tolle, whatever it was, I would be like lifted off the floor. I would feel so much better. And I almost didn't want to leave, right? So it was showing me my being in those areas was showing me, Mary, this is a part of you. And then I would slam back into directing. Yeah. And so that's where it began. And I think that's what a nudge is, at least in my experience. Pay attention to what we're drawn to. And if we're drawn to what it is we're doing, great. Then we're on our own track. Then that makes sense. And we'll also do well. And it will be easy, which is the other thing that we did not learn growing up, a lot of us, that no pain, no gain. No, that's not true. It is supposed to be easy and fun, and we can be well paid for what we do that is fun. So anyway, that was what nudge was for me.
Oh, that's great. Because, because I think, you know, like I hear that and then I doubt it, you know, which you had said when you were doing this at first, you had some doubts.
Mm-hmm.
Is this real? You know, you're talking to whoever.
Right.
Who are they? And is this, you know, like, tell us about, because I think a lot of people would have doubt. Like, I think it's easy to see what we're drawn to. We may or may not be following it, right? But then when you got there, that's very different than TV directing. You know, what were you, how did you actually, you went from taking these courses to actually knowing, okay, this is it, the readings, this is the Akashic Record.
Like, well, once I read the first book about the Akashic Records and began to open or tried to open my records, I immediately began to hear blocks of thought that were not mine. Now that's where my doubt came in. But what that doubt is, and it is for all of us, what I now know, it's our ego. It's that ego conscious that Eckhart refers to, Eckhart Tolle, that the ego conscious is tricky. We are very powerful. We're all powerful beings, every single one of us. We come onto this planet from source, universe, whatever we want to call it, as powerful, balanced beings. And we're always that. That cannot be banged out of us. And so what happens is, because of the challenges of living in life, there are challenges. We have systems. We have things we're being told, the families we are born into, belief systems. All of these things can collect and sometimes pull us away from the powerful, centered being of lights that we are. It can happen, and it does happen very, very often. Go ahead.
That was one of the things, again, you won't remember what we talked about, but authoritarianism.
Oh, yeah.
That we're born into that, you know, this is the right way to do it. This is the right way to dress. This is the right way to act. You know, don't be upset. That was one of my favorites. Don't be upset. Be happy, you know. And so we learn not to be our real selves.
That's right. We're not really listening.
Yeah.
And we're all unique, beautiful beings. I like to say of light, because that is what we are. Children know this. This is how they act that way. And then some of us just don't listen to them or don't see their light. So yes, we are all of that. And yes, authoritarianism, well, we have thousands of years of that, right? It's been going on a long time. And the ego is the biggest culprit here, And it was, from what I understand, is it was created when, I'll say mankind, we could say mankind saw himself in the reflection in the pool, which is narcissist, which is probably why narcissism comes from that. But that's where then it was like, oh, there's another me. Oh, me and me. And then the ego evolved from that. And the ego.
We didn't always have the ego?
We did not always have the ego, according to what I'm hearing from the Akashic Realm.
Wow.
We began as whole non-duality, a planet of non-duality, love and compassion, no need for the dark to see the light. That's how we began. And then what happened was, once the ego entered the picture, then it set up this duality, me and the other part of me, me and you, them and us. And then we have this duality, right? And then authoritarianism tried to make sense of that, and called it different things. Then we had psychology coming in. Then it was, then you need the dark to get the light. All of this stuff was developed out of that.
You need rules. So I was listening to something that said, you need police. You know, once you're separate, you need police, but then you need police for the police, and it goes down from there.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, so yeah, that's so interesting. And it's interesting that this came up. I just did a newsletter. I just want to, and it was on the ego, because I realized how smart my ego is and how.
It's very smart, and it's tricky too. It's a trickster.
Yeah. These are a few of its tricks. Insufficiency. So it's never going to be enough. You know, I published 3 books. So what? No one read them. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what it's telling me. They suck. No one read them. Like, I can't even feel good about publishing 3 books, right? Separateness. Like you were saying, me and you, not connected.
Right.
Shame, guilt. It brings the past up. It brings things that have happened in the past and brings them back to today, so we can still be upset, even though they're not around. Comparison. Oh, well, you know, look at Mary's hair. Her hair is better than mine, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's another way to feel bad. Judgment. You should have known better.
Yep.
And then anxiety, I thought was interesting. It has us worrying about a future that hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
And but this is, you know, like you said, okay, it wasn't always there. Like, why would we have this thing that's so negative and so disempowering? And if we're not, like, if I'm not aware of it, I'm not going to do my show, because it's never going to be enough numbers. And do you know what I mean? Like, I'm always going to go with it. Like, why? I don't know if you can answer that.
I can. Yeah. I actually can. So the reason that we do have it floating around and having its way, let's call it that, most of us. And then there's also the collective ego conscious, which is around the whole planet right now. And then there's our individual ego conscious. And Eckhart spends a lot of time on this, and the records affirm that what he's saying is, like, right on. Okay, so it's when we don't know that we are, I'm using the word divine here. This is not religious, what I'm talking about. It is the idea that there is a source of all of this. Something put all of this together, all of the beauty of it. There's a choreography to this planet that I don't think most people would argue about. So knowing that source, whatever you want to be, universe, source, creator, God, when we don't know we are that, when we don't know that we are light, that we don't know that we are love, when we don't know it inside, not when someone doesn't tell us it, but when we don't know it, then we operate from non-that. I'll call it that, right?
Yeah.
So if we don't know we're love, then we're going to carry out unloving things, actions, or treat other people in unloving ways, because we don't know love. We don't know we're that. So there's where and the ego forms from that. This energy of unlove collects, and then it forms itself, and then it has an awareness of itself. I want to say, excuse the pun, because it's like ego's aware of itself, and that's what keeps it relevant. It fears its demise, which Eckhart also says. It's afraid it will no longer be needed. Now, once love enters the picture, love of self first, ego busts apart. It can't even exist where there's love, because it's not of love. So this is all about energy. So it's a collection of unloved energy. Go ahead.
No, that's great. I love that. Now, if the ego is not a real thing, or
Right.
maybe it is, how can it fear its demise? Do you know what I mean? Why is it in survival in me to keep me getting upset? Like, what is it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What is it that's trying to do that? Is it?
Well, it looks for, and I believe, because it's challenging to speak of these things because we want to understand it in a linear way, and we're talking about quantum stuff here. So it is an essence that gets created in the way that I just said. This is, again, what I've been learning from hearing downloads, getting downloads from the Akashic realm itself. So
So it's
it's created out of unlove. So here's this ball of energy. We could have an image of like a balloon, and the balloon begins deflated. And then when we start not knowing we're love, we just don't know we're love. It could be from growing up, it could be a past life. We just don't know. We don't know we're light and love. Therefore, we don't feel powerful either. Then what happens is the collection of that energy of I don't love myself, not consciously, but on a deep level, it collects. It emanates out and it collects. And it kind of like imagine the balloon filling up. The balloon starts to fill up with that, and then it has an awareness of itself that we can call the ego. It has an it, it's an aware it has an awareness. And that awareness of itself, it's not some monster being, but although it's pretty tricky. And all it wants is more of itself, more of itself. So what does it do? Like a radar, it searches for matched energy. So when we're having a day where we feel down or we're having a rough day and we don't know we're fully balanced, loving beings, deserving of love and light, and that we're light, if we're in that space, the ego goes, whoop, great. And it will swoop in and match up with that. It's a match in energy. If we're not feeling good about ourselves, the ego loves that. It's like that's what it's made of. So it will enter, in a
Wow.
sense, and influence us with more of that, right? Until love comes in. Once love comes in, that's how it gets resolved, solved, actually. And that can, and we can look at different situations because it's different for everybody. But when, I mean, you actually, perfect example. You're gonna love this example. So if there's an accident on the street, right? And the human nature, people are going to run to help. Somebody is injured, they get hit by a car. They're all going to run to help that person in that situation. Are they stopping on the way to go, wait a minute, what do you believe in? Which side are you on of this? Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? They don't do that, right? Because our human nature is love. And so they all run to help. And then later on, what happens in these situations, and on a grander scale as well, when people then come off of that experience, and hopefully they've saved someone's life together, they look at each other and they're seeing each other as light, right? And something shifts. That's how we shift this planet. It's with love. There's no, in that scenario I just named, there's no ego there. No ego. It can't
They're
exist.
not worried about getting sued for help,
No,
you
they're
know,
not.
for
It's
that,
just
right?
love. I'm gonna be there for you.
Wow. And now I think we could take our commercial break, and then when we come back, we'll get the rest of the story. All right.
The station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So then how does someone learn unlove? Well, I can give you examples. Unlove, something happens having nothing to do with us, but the ego, I guess, would swoop in if we were upset, would swoop in and say, oh, you know, you can't count on people. They don't care about you, right? Ego would come in, start this story that can take hold and run our lives, I would say.
There is another component to this, which can get us, or rather can influence our lives and get us away from the light that we are. And then the ego goes, oh, good. And that's subconscious patterns. And subconscious, the subconscious is formed when we're third trimester, I think, through 7 years old. It forms itself. And all it does is, Bruce Lipton talks about this, that it just records what's going on in our little lives. That's all. It's not a judger. It doesn't know right or wrong, anything. It's a recording device. So here it is recording how we're loved, how we're treated. What does love look like? What does our world look like? Is there hatred around us? Is there love around us? Is there kindness? Everything gets recorded into the subconscious on every one of us. Then what happens is the subconscious finishes forming, and then it's known now, they're now, I guess, proving this, that the subconscious runs 96% or 97% of our behavior from the background, meaning the conscious is not aware of it. And that's the clue to know that you might have a subconscious pattern, is when you can say, I don't know why I always wind up with fill in the blanks. Or I don't know why I always have had this happen in my life. Even though I did the therapy and I did this and I read all these books and I did all these things, I meditated, but I still have this thing, right, that keeps happening. Almost 100% of the time, it's a subconscious pattern that simply formed, recorded that, right? And those subconscious patterns, the ones that are not the positive ones, I'll say, or they wind up not being positive, they keep us from our light. So we're already a little compromised from being our full whole self. And ego goes, oh, great, yeah. In fact, let me help you feel more like crap. And that's what the ego does.
And it's really good at it. You know,
it's a trickster. It's really good.
I don't like to be embarrassed or disappointed or dismissed. There was a fourth, I can't even remember. But that's what, when I was doing this thing with the books, and it's like, or with my, I don't know, let's say with my TikToks, you know, the numbers are going down. So then the ego comes in and says, well, that's because you suck. You should stop doing this. You're embarrassing yourself.
But it's not the ego operating by itself. It's the ego grabbing onto an energy that's already there. That I don't remember if it came up in your reading, but that probably was a subconscious pattern where somebody in your life in some way, shape, or form was leading you to believe that about yourself.
Right. Yeah. So it grabs it.
Yeah.
And that's what it flagellates me with. You're embarrassing yourself.
And knowing it, by the way, the awareness, like I love that you're laughing about this because I laugh about it. When I learned about it, I actually worked through some things myself that kept happening. For me, I had petty tyrant bosses, almost every network I worked on, and no one else was having those bosses. They weren't being mean to them. And even the crew people would say, I don't know why he's being so mean to you. Well, I figured it out. I had a subconscious pattern. My number one bully was my father, my drunken father. And then I had one of my brothers bullied me horribly. So my subconscious recorded, oh, this is normal world. And then it just looked for the match. And that's how I manifested my therapist called it petty tyrant bosses. But once I discovered that, then I started laughing about it because those subconscious patterns are not ours. We didn't come in choosing them. They were a part of our environment, right? They do have value, by the way. We've come to find that out. But it's kind of funny because once you're aware of it, it's no longer this weird little albatross secretly in the background. It's now out and you now know it. You can go when the thought comes in like you were just doing. You'll have that thought and now you'll go, wait a minute, that's not me. That's that thing. That's that subconscious pattern. That's the ego. Get out of here. And the way you get it out of there is you do something loving for yourself.
Mm.
It cannot exist where there's love.
So I would always attract, in terms of relationships, lying, unavailable men. Always. Even if I thought they were available.
Okay. So that's like, so something like not deserving then.
But
not
it was
deserving of everything that you deserve, you know.
Well,
not-
because growing up, we talked about this. Of course, it's funny you don't remember, but that I had three critical parents, father, mother, and sister. And so being criticized and being told how wrong I was or whatever, and my whatever was normal. So that was normal to be treated badly or to have someone, you know what I mean? To take, someone said, you take the crumbs. I'm like, yeah, I was happy with the crumbs. You know what I mean? Like, oh, good, I get a crumb. I wasn't aware that it was the crumbs, but it was normal. Like you said, petty.
Yeah.
That was normal. Like, what are you talking about? And so what you're saying is, okay, do something loving for myself. I mean, it's easier for me now not to be even in a relationship, I think, because I'm sort of afraid that I'll repeat the pattern, but... How do you think someone, I'm sure I'm not the only one, would break that pattern? Do something loving? Like how?
Well, yeah, it's not going to
be attract when he's petty tyrant bosses anymore. I mean, obviously you don't
have
one.
Well, here's what happened. Once I knew it was a subconscious pattern, I was then aware, because again, there's this component which it does create behavior without our conscious being aware of it. That's one thing. First of all, we got to really believe that. I mean, and I do believe it. When I first heard it, my whole body resonated. I went, oh my God, that makes perfect sense. Once I realized, once you know about a subconscious pattern, because the one that you were talking about just now with men, and I wrote down the word trust here, but not deserving. What was happening when you were little was you were being told you're not deserving of what you want and what you love. And you're not deserving. What does not deserving mean? That means you're being shown that you're not whole. You're not balanced. You're not, it's a judgment, right? So you're being judged. Therefore, how would you not have a pattern developing that is like, well, then I'm not deserving of it. Well, then let's go. The way to get out of this or through this stuff is you got to go through all the levels of the perceptions of it and the reality of what was happening. So not deserving, then what does that mean? It means that, well, I guess I'm not of the light like everyone else is. I mean, it goes deeper sometimes. Then now take that and go into life. And all it's doing, it's not some monster that's attached to you. Then what it is it's just this behavior that simply was observed and experienced as you were little. And then it just is going to look for the same thing. It's that simple. When we know it, when we go, oh my God, that makes sense. Once that happens, that jogs it loose. And then it's now seen. Your conscious now has an awareness of it. Now the conscious can come in and do its thing and go, wait a minute, that's not who I am. So you don't want to just hang there with that, right? The next thing is to then look for opportunities to do the things that bring you joy without anyone else. In fact, I recommend to people that find those things that bring you joy without telling anyone about it. Because you don't want to misstep into somebody that is going to judge you again when you're doing something that you love.
Right.
So that's, and we have all of us, we could do a rampage, each one of us, on things that bring us joy. Tiny things, big things, doesn't matter. Once we begin doing that, then we start to get back to our being, which will help us remember, oh, yeah, that's who I am. So before all the garbage was happening with you and with other people when we were little, including myself, we were whole round balls of light that came in, right? And I think people think with trauma that that goes away and it gets stomped out. It can't. You know that saying, the light always wins? It does. All there is light, really. Abraham Hicks has a saying, when you walk in a room, there's no dark switch. I love that. Isn't that funny? There isn't. And actually, when you're in the dark and you shine, you could light one little candle, the whole room lights up. The dark goes away, right? Which means there was no dark to begin with.
Right. Yeah. And that's what you said to me in the reading, that I was born, which we all are, in light and love, and nothing can take that away. So if somebody's listening and they've had trauma or they did something bad or whatever, they think, like I've heard people say, I'm damaged goods.
Yeah.
Well, they're not. They're not. Right?
They're not.
That's just...
And a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists are not going to like that, but that's, you know, and the thing is, I always knew this when I was little, because I didn't go down a bad road. My brothers did because of the abuse and my mental abuse in my family, but I didn't. Why didn't I? I don't know, for some reason, my light was still lit and I kept it, but I wasn't conscious of it, right? It was painful for me. So we're not saying, and the records don't say, that trauma is not real and that there wasn't pain we went through. Not at all. It's not lessening that. But what it's offering us is a new way to look at, or actually, I like to say, the real truth about trauma and the meaning of it, because it does have value. And we find that out. We got it. We don't need to pick all the trauma apart. We don't have to look at the specifics of it, especially in cases where people were raped when they were little. Records are not, when I'm in readings, they're not asking the people to talk about that, but they want them to talk about the energy of being shut down, because we're being shut down from our light. And it happens in all these different forms. It happened for you a certain way, me and other people. So we want to look at the energy of that, because it's very powerful to be shut down, and people have to use power in order to shut us down, no matter what age we're at. And if we can harness the energy of that, right? When we're adults, you have to get to it. You have to go through the recognizing, oh, maybe it's a pattern, recognizing that we really are light. We have to know and feel into that. Those are important. And we have to trust in that. We have to know that we're all really powerful beings of light. We just are, every one of us. And the over thousands of years, all the different systems that have been developed and come about, including the Vatican, have been created out of a sort of we're in charge, you're not. We're going to tell you what life's about. And that, I believe, is coming from a fear of others, that a fear of what will happen when people come into their own light. Then they won't be needed. The CEO, not the CEO, but the heads of this and that, they're not going to be needed. And so in order to not let people get into their light, we're going to craft this and that and that and that. And I think that's where we're at now.
Let's say the Vatican. They're afraid of not being needed, so they get all crazy with the rules and be authoritarian and whatever they do. Why did we allow that? Like, why, if we were all light and love and powerful beings, how did we allow that? Or is that just...
Because of the ego. Because the ego was already created, and so many of the people
be good. You better be good. You better.
Well, and also yes and no. Rewind to the very beginnings of every one of these institutions. How do they begin, and by whom? Who, like the first pope? What was going on at that time? I mean, that's what we have to look at, because it's the founders that first started the idea of whatever, fill in the blanks. Most likely, if we really knew them personally today, we would find out that they did not know they were love. They probably were abused. They were not coming from, I think we're seeing a lot of that right now with leaders around the world. They don't know who they are. And so if you don't know who you are, as I said earlier, you're going to take actions out of that, not the non-light, I'll say, but not consciously. And right. So then ego will go, oh, great. And then give that person more ideas. Create this. Now create a rule. Now create laws. Now create a bill. Goes on and on and on. So, I mean, I think that's how it happens. And then, and the ego is very much involved. And then it turns into what Eckhart refers to as the collective ego conscious, where we have an entire world believing things and believing in, or rather we have a world filled with people who are giving up their power.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. People are afraid to speak up. They're afraid to say things. They're afraid to mention the elephant in the middle of the room or whatever room it is. And it's like, well, why? Where is that coming from? It's from not knowing that, you know, you've got, I want to say you got God on your side. You've got non-physical. There's so much in non-physical that's there with us of light and love. And we have that. And we are of that. And so if we know that, well, we're going to always be protected. People will probably disagree with me on that. But I mean, look at Mother Teresa. People around her said, no, you can't go over there and go through all of those ill people. And she was like, no, I'm doing it. And she was fine.
We have to take our commercial break. I hate to stop this, but we're going to take it. We'll be right back. And we'll continue this conversation. This is so fascinating. All right. Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And now we're back with Mary. This is so interesting. Wow. So, okay. So the collective ego conscious, does that mean that whatever has been created by the other egos, individual egos, is now as if that's the truth? Is that what that is? Or,
well, here's the thing. There's no such... okay, here's another one. By the way, I love chatting with you because you're so good at questions and ahas, and it's really fun. I just want to say that.
Okay.
There's not the truth.
Not the truth, but... Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is what we were talking about before the show. Let's do this one. So there are people, like, as a people-pleasing, pleasant phony, and that's why I started getting real with Hillary, I want to, you know, if Mary says something very strongly, I don't want to disagree with her because I want her to like me. So that's okay. I don't disagree with her. But then let's say, you know, Bob over here has a conflicting opinion. So Mary says, you know, this is blue, and Bob says this is black. Now, I know they can't both be true unless it's a blue-black, but now I'm like, I almost get frozen, like,
mm-hmm.
And maybe it's, how do I keep both liking me? Do you know what I mean? And what do I believe in? And so that's been a pattern of mine, is not thinking for myself, probably, not coming from light and love, yeah. But thinking from, okay, there's a finite reality and someone's got to be right and someone's got to be wrong. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Okay. Isn't it the need to be right? Well, didn't that come up in your reading? Or am I guessing that?
Getting it right. Yeah.
Getting it right.
Okay. I have to get it right, or I get like panicked. And there's no right, but it's a survival thing. So that I could be okay. It was, for me, it was all about trying to be okay. I couldn't be loved. So let me try to be okay. Let me, you know, excel at grades and sports and, you know, be the captain of this. And like, I always had to do that. It never got me anywhere. Do you know what I mean? I was still not fulfilled.
Well,
but
Let's unpack this, because there are a few things you're saying that are really, really important. So when you were saying, I tried this and that and that and never got me anywhere, the word that came to me was that was excellence. And that's how you, possibly, everything's about possibilities and probabilities here. You maneuvered your way in spite of and because of that childhood that you're talking about. Right. Because if you didn't have that childhood, you may not have gone here and done very well in when you were doing those things. Right. But somehow something else comes in. And I think it's the subconscious pattern that then weighs in on those things that you did well and go, well, it didn't get me anywhere. Well, where'd that come from?
It wasn't I was the captain. I was the captain of the varsity women's squash team at Penn. And what I say is, but I wasn't very good. Do you know what I mean? There's always no matter what I did, there's always a but. Yeah, like I said, I published 3 books, but nobody really read them. There's always a but that devalues the accomplishment. All right, we have a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to leave people with? What's your message? How would you like to see the world in 5 years? Go ahead. Take it away.
Well, there's a book and movie called The Lost Horizon, which is based on the idea of Shangri-La or a utopia. A lot of books have been written about that. I really think we are I think human beings are in so much better shape than we're being told.
Mm.
Please, everybody, think about that when you're being shown, if somebody's treating you badly or whatever, to stop privately and remind yourself. And you can do it through meditation. If you do pray, talk to the angels, archangels, a loved one on the other side, absolutely important to call on them and say, show me the light that I am. Because if we can help each other and mirror to each other the light that we are, the love that we already are, we don't have to go get it, we are already that, we're going to all feel better. And all of these sharp things that are happening around us, they just won't forget, they won't affect us. They really won't affect us. We don't have to work on it not affecting us. That won't work, because that'll just activate more of it in our lives. That's the law of attraction. But what we can do is support each other in light and love. And that's what's happening on the planet right now. So I invite everyone to know and think about, wow, I'm really okay, aren't I? I'm more than okay.
Wow.
And that's our power that we have. That's our right. It's a human right.
Wow. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Mary. I could talk to you forever. Unfortunately, our time is up. So thank you.
This is fun. I love chatting with you.
Great. Yes. All right. Bye, everyone. See you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Getting Real with Hillary show on UK Health Radio. If today's conversation resonated with you, take a moment to reflect, share, or simply be with what you heard. Until next time, this is Hillary Burns, inviting you to stay curious, stay connected, and keep getting real.